Today's daf is Lamed Hey, the second Bava Metzia, with the middle parak Hamavkid, third parak, and we got up to Abaye Omar, which is one third of the way down. So let me just remind you where we're in the middle of right now. The question over here was, according to Rav Huna, that even though we had cases in which a person says, I don't want it to bother paying a shvuah, I'll just pay you, everything is fine, and so on, you still have to go ahead and make that shvuah, not all three elements. The three elements would have included that there was no shlichut yad, and that you weren't poshea. And the third element is that it's eno betachat reshuto. So even though he can get out of the first two, he's going to pay, so it's irrelevant whether he was shlichut yad or whether he was poshea. But how do we know that it's not reshuto? Therefore, says Rav Huna, look, he's going to still have to make that shvuah because we're cheshish that maybe in the end he's going to keep it for himself because shema natanei navbo. Now what we had was a Mishnah. When we asked him, basically from the Braita on this sugya, which is that in a case where you have an argument between a malva and a lova, and you have a mashkan that had been given to the malva from the lova, and there's a question as to whether the mashkan was worth what the loan was worth, less than a loan was worth, or more than a loan was worth. So we have four cases. And the four cases are, in each case, he's saying that the malva says, okay, I lent you one sela, your mashka was worth half. And he says, no, it was worth exactly one sela. He's a kofa makol, no shvur. If he says, I lent you one sela, the mashka was worth exactly half, and the guy says, no, it's true, it was not worth the whole amount, but it was worth three quarters. Then he's a made of a mixas, then he has to be nishpa. In the opposite case, you have someone who says, I lent you a sela, and it was worth a sela. The lova says, you lent me a sela, but it was worth two sela. So there is also kofra bakol. The lova says, you lent me a sela, and it was worth two sela, and he says, well, it was worth a sela and a quarter. So there too, he's made of a mixas. Now the question is, who takes the shvuah? Normally the person that would owe the money takes the shvuah. Right? So he's the one that's not motiva mixas should take the shvuah. In the second case that we had, where the lova is claiming that it was worth more than the malva says, but not the full amount of the loan, so it says that we want the, instead of who would have normally taken the shvuah, which is the lova, the malva should take the loan, take the shvuah. Why should the malva take the shvuah and be neito? Because we're afraid that the lova will be put into a position where he'll swear, and then the malva will remove the mashkin from his pocket and say, ha, 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 and look, everybody, what a phony this guy is. So in order to avoid the appearances of shvua shav or mezilzo b'shvua, or to put a person into that kind of position and so on, we made a takana. And the problem was that according to Rav Huna, anyway, the malva has to swear that the mashkin, because there's a shemar on that mashkin, is not b'shuto. If he swears that it's not b'shuto, he couldn't possibly take it out of his pocket and say, ha, 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 without showing that he is the liar. So therefore, it seems rather clear that Rav Huna is wrong, that you don't have to take that kind of shvuah. Okay, so we had a number of different approaches that it was still in the middle of that sugya. So what we ended up saying was that, well, Lamaisit's talking about over here, there's Aidin that it was stolen. So that if there's Aidin that's stolen, what's the one that is shvuah? We know that it's not there. If there's Aidin that it was stolen, so then how is he going to be able to produce it? So then we came out that he may be able to hire a detective and get hold of it, which the lova wouldn't be able to do. And therefore, we made a takana that we don't want the lova this way. We're up to Abaye Omer, and Abaye has a different approach. Abaye Omer. What's the big problem? I don't understand. You're saying that he swore it's not in his rishos. Fine, he'll swear it's not in his rishos. A week later, he'll come back and he'll say, I found it. But that still is going to show up the lova as a liar without necessarily exposing the malva to a taina that he's a liar. Rav Ashi Amar, actually, what it means over here is not that only one swears. It means both swear. Zenishba v'zenishba. Zenishba she'na b'rishuto. Indeed, the way Rav Huna would understand it, the malva has to swear it's not in his rishus. And then the lova swears kamo yashaveh. All that we were asking was, who goes first? That was the question. When it says, mi nishba, doesn't mean who swears. They both swear. But the question is, who goes first? Mi nishba tchila. The malva has to be nishba tchila, because if he lets the other guy swear first before he swears, ravuna shvua, then he may indeed produce it and say, ha ha ha. So therefore we make him swear first at the end of Rishu, say, and then he's not going to be able to produce it, and then the lova takes his shvua, and that's what it means. Mi nishba tchila, malva nishba tchila, shema nishba zev yotzi hala et apikadon. Ravuna bar tachlifa mishmeidu rava amar. You know, it's all very nice, but nobody bothered noticing that the reisha of the seifa is a tiyufta to Ravuna. Everybody's talking about the seifa of the reisha. How about the reisha of the seifa? What was the reisha of the seifa? Sela el vitani alav. You lent me one sela, and the mashka was worth two, and now you owe me money, not I owe you money. Vahala Omer, the lender says, no, it was exactly what it was worth. It was a sella, and it was worth a sella, and now we're all even Stevens, right? So it says here, patur. But according to Rav Huna, you're not patur. Why? Because the rule is that once somebody is taking a shvua anyway, you can be migalgel a shvua on him. According to Rav Huna, this guy anyway is going to have to take a shvua as a shemrin, that the pikadon is not tachat yado. So then the lova will have the right to say to him, okay, you need to swear to me, enemy, swear to me that it was worth only the amount of the loan. So then he would be chayav shvua. So according to Rav Huna, im ita le Rav Huna, if Rav Huna is correct, that he must take a shvua that it's not tachat yado, so migo de ishtaba malvesh inab reshuto. Once he's going to have to swear anyway that he doesn't have it, we should add as a gilgal shvua, something that's included within, we roll another shvua onto him, that he's also going to swear that it was worth the amount of the loan. How about that? Nobody thought of that as a kash on Rav Huna. Omer Rav Ashi, Amrit Rav Shmaita Kamed Rav Huna, Rav Kana. I said this over, and he said, that doesn't bother me so much. Because, I mean, there are cases where there's an understanding that I'm not going to make you swear to, hey, but mommy, no. I trust you. Fine. In other words, if you tell me that it was stolen or whatever, I'm not going to make you swear that you don't have it under your reshus. That's not the problem. As long as you're paying me, not a problem to me. So then if we're talking about a case where he's my man, no, so then why not say that the whole thing is talking about where there was that level of trust between them? So then the love should also be ma'amin to the malve in terms of how much it's shoveh. So you're saying he trusts him, so then trust him also about how much it's worth, and there should be no basis to the shvua that he does have to take when he's a motive of mixas. No. There's an assessor. Kama is a court of court, has assessors. So Lishba Kama, so Kama Haya Shaveh should also believe him? No. Lokim Limigavet. That he's not going to believe because he understands it's not his. He's not an expert. Why should I believe him? I don't think he's a liar. I trust the guy. I think he's wrong. So Vidhemne Malvelove the Kimle Bigave. So then I don't get it. If that's the issue, so then why don't we? I mean, if we're talking about cases of trust, and the only reason that there's no trust about the value is because the lova feels that the malva wouldn't know the value, but the malva ought to trust the lova to kimle bigave that he does know the value. He doesn't trust the lova. This is ridiculous. We create a case over here, completely arbitrary, in which A trusts B, but B doesn't trust A, and A trusts B on one item, but not on the other item. And this is this third thing is getting a little bit out of hand as an explanation of a braitha? No. It makes a lot of sense. Maish not love the memele lamalva, maish amavid lo men lalove. I'll tell you. The love assumes that if the malva has money, he's a good guy. The malva assumes if the love has to borrow money, he's a jerk. That's the point. So the malva, therefore, is the lovis mekayim bebe malva tumat yisharim tanche. It says in the pasuk that a person who's a tummy and a yosher, so then Hakadosh Baruch Hu gives him atzlocha. So if this person has atzlocha in life, I respect him. And if it ain't that way anymore, huh? If I respect him, so I trust him. Masha ain't came. The marvel looks at this guy. Look at this guy. So hard up. He can't even get enough money. He's got to come to me to borrow money. Must be the Selev Bogdim Yishadim. He indeed is a walking example of treacherous people whom God ultimately punishes. And he's bogate in them too. So Namela, everyone subconsciously has an image. There's an image. The guy is, I mean, look, Bernie Madoff. I mean, such a tzlach, he must be too much Yisharim Tavcha. So they trust him. A guy is a beggar, you don't trust him.
Success breeds success.
That's right. Ahu gavra, the ipkit kipi gavi chavre. There was a fellow who had given over bracelets. Here it says bracelets, in other places it says it means actually pearls, to a friend. And he says to him, so avli kipoi, give me back those bracelets. I can't remember where I put him. I can't find him for the life of me. Classic, right? So he comes, he takes it to court in front of Reb Nachman. Somebody who says, I don't know where I put it, that's negligent. And therefore he's got to pay. Zil Shalim, pay him up. Lord Shalim, he didn't pay. So Reb Nachman put out an order and took his house away. Agvela Padnamine, and he collected the house. In those days, they actually did things, you know. So that's it. You don't know where the guy's pearls are. You can pay him by evacuating your home. In the end, the guy found the pearls. Not only that, but the pearls were now worth more than they had been before because the market went up. Yeah, it's irrelevant. The question is, what happened? So Omer Reb Nachman, what you do over here is Hadre Kipi Lemarayu. Give the pearls back to the owner and give the house back to the original owner. Well, my Rava, so Rava said, Aviyativna Kameder Reb Nachman, I was actually in the Beit Din, in front of Reb Nachman there, in the audience. They used to have the TV show.
It was
court. So I was there. And we were learning, guess what perek we were learning? We were learning Hamafkid, who picked an Hamafkid. We were in the middle of our mafkin, and we were right at that Mishnah that we had here. And the Amrile Shilem Velora Tzali Shavai asked him, what about the Mishnah? The Mishnah says that in a case where a guy pays, which he did over here, basically gave him his house, and he didn't swear, and the din over there is that any additional money that comes in from Kefel and so on belongs to the guy who paid. So why do we say let him take the original owner takes additional value of the pearls and gives back the house? What we should say is he can keep the house and let the other guy get the additional value since he'd already paid. It would be like finding a ganav. And he didn't even answer me. He just ignored me. And, you know, he was absolutely right because it was a stupid question. He did the right thing in not bothering to answer me because my timer. I don't know what I was thinking. The whole idea was that he didn't schlep the guy to court. So therefore, the guy said, okay, if you treat me right, you pay me up, we don't have to go to court, so then, okay, you can keep whatever comes over here. On the contrary, the guy was driving him crazy. I can't find it. Come back later. And then he got a court order, then he didn't pay. Why in the world should he be nice to it? So, But wait, all of this is based on the fact that the guy will get back his house. I mean, there's two different issues over here. I mean, because we've got, what really should happen is the guy should say, look, I already bought this house with my keeping. Now, it happens to be I overpaid, so give me the change. But not that he should have to get back the house and then he takes the keeping. Because he collected it already, it's his. So are you telling me to suffer at Nachman the Shuma Hadar? Are you telling me that when a court assesses and collects on an assessment, that if the guy now gets up enough money to pay you back, you have to give him back the property that had been paid? Is that what you're saying? No. Shaniyat dushuma b'ta'ut havi. T'kavi kipi mi'ikora. Well, you can't prove it from there because it was found. And the point was it had never been lost. He was saying, well, if you can't find it for all intents and purposes, the court views this as being a negligent loss. Okay, but in the end, the keeper were in the drawer. So the guy moves into the house, the keeper are there. I mean, that's not the same as having correctly collected a property And then he gets together money to buy back the property. He's giving him back the original thing that he had. However, the truth is, as we had earlier, the Nardoi held that you could buy back a property that had been collected by the court within 12 months of collection. The Omer Amemar, and Amemar said, I don't know, I'm from Missouri myself. I believe that the law is that you can always buy back something that had been collected. And Ve'ilchata Shuma Hadar Le'olam, the halacha is in fact that you can always buy it back by paying off the original loan, not because that's the real halacha, because obviously halachically the cold halacha is, look, you know, the fact that you have an emotional connection to your home is irrelevant to us, money is money, it was paid, it's overs. But since the Pasuk tells us Ve'asita Yashar V'Hatov, and it's really no sweat off your back, you don't have the emotional connection that he does.
Did he sell it?
So,
Wouldn't the court have sold it on or to get the money back?
No, it's talking about where we actually had the guy collected. In the next case, we're going to discuss if it sold, if they sold it on. Here it's talking about that the guy took it for the same price that we would have gotten had we sold it. There's no point in selling to somebody else, giving him the cash. He says, I'll take it in lieu of the loan. So I hold that because of Asita Yashar V'Atov, it's Hodeh Le'olam. Now, Pshita Shomu Loi L'Ba'al Chov. We now estimate the value of a property, give it to a creditor, and he goes ahead and he gives it to his creditor. V'Shomu L'Ba'al Chov Didei. So then what we say is, Amirle, Lo adif at migavra diatitamine. Look, you are not going to have more rights than the person that had given it to you. I mean, you're only coming basically standing in place of the original guy who collected. So you're a second order collector. Collectors are still going to have to allow the person who lost his house to buy it back. Now, in a case, however, where he was zavna, which was a case you were asking, basically, Rabbi Yaakov. So over here, even the creditor, the original creditor, ends up selling it, or ends up bequeathing it by managing to die, or he goes in and gives it as a gift, piyafe b'matana, in all of those cases, the asita yashar v'atov is no longer functional, because it's no longer nice. I mean, the yashar v'atov is, you know, it's no sweat off your back. I mean, over here, you gave it to somebody who bought something thinking he was his to keep, or he got a matana thinking he was his to keep, or inherited something that was his to keep, not...
Right.
So over there, there's no Indian of Asita Yashar V'Atov, because over there it was Adaita D'Ara Nochus. We're talking about the actual property, and not Adaita D'Mot. We're not talking about the Zuz. Now how about if Shomu La Le'isha? So now, they estimated for a woman a field with Chov, that somebody was paying her. She goes ahead now, and she gets married, Vin Tziva, and now the karka basically becomes the husband's to use, even though they had never been shamed to the husband, that it should be a din of karka, of Tzon Barzel karka, so that it was really hers, it's just that it was nixemelug. Now the Baal is going to be using it and getting the profit. Or, for that matter, the other way around, Shamu Mina De Isha. Say that a woman had been chay of money, and they took a field from her with a shuma, with a seizure document. And now she goes ahead, v'intziva, she gets married, umeta, and she now dies. The Baal, benichse ishto, is considered to be a lokeach. The Chachomim always gave a husband a din, not of a yoresh, but as if he had purchased that property. And therefore, in a case where they had collected for the woman, karka, and now she dies, and he goes ahead and is now the heir of that karka, and now they want to pay him for that karka. They cannot get it from him. Lo mahadar, he does not have to give it back to them, because, as we said, a lokeach does not have to give back karka that he had bought. And if, the other way around, they had been shamit from the woman, collected the field, now she went ahead and she died. Now, her husband, of course, is Yoresher in that case. And therefore, if he now wants to get back that karka, and he's going to pay for it, we don't have to give it back to him. Lo madrinan leih, because he cannot say that I'm a Yoresh, And as a Yoresh, I have the same rights to buy it back as she does. All that he is a Lokeach, and a Lokeach does not have the Schut to buy back. He only has the Schut that if he bought, we don't take from him. But you do see from here that a Yoresh indeed does have, even though we didn't talk about that before, it's clear from here that Rishonim bring a Raya that indeed a Yoresh does have buyback rights. Now there is some discussion here as to whether the woman necessarily died, and the Gemara didn't mention that she died. Rashi does say that she died, and there's a machlokus as to what this means. It's possible that Rashi only meant to say that even if she died, he has a din of a lokeach and doesn't have to give it back, not as a yorish. However, there are others, in fact, the Beis Yosef learns this way, that what Rashi is saying is dafke if she died, because you can't call him a lokeach, since he only had rights of perot. The only time he gets rights to the actual karka itself is dafka after she had died. And I'm sure you're troubled by the fact that we seemed to need to say that the Baal was a lokech and not a yoresh when it came to the question about lo mahadr. Because, I mean, lamaisa, we said before that even if he would be a yoresh, that is not mahadr because he was nachis in order to get it. So some want to be machalik and say that the only time that we say in the previous case that a yoresh does not have to give back because it was nachis adaita the yara and not adaita of the money of the yara, that was dafka where the yerusha came through a matna shchiv mira, but not a standard yerusha, because over there, what can you say? The standard yerusha is that he had intended to get it as karka. I mean, it's irrelevant intent over there. However, Tosis disagrees with this, and Tosis actually says the only reason we need to mention his lokeach is indeed for the question about whether we will give it back to him, but not in the case of whether he has to give it back. There it would make no nafkamina. And argues with Rashi. And as I just pointed out a moment ago, if he would have been a Yoresh, then indeed we would have been Magzir, because a Yoresh has the right to be Poda, that which had been to his Morish. Now the reason for this is because the Amar of Rabbi Chanina, Be'usha, where one of the stops of the Sanhedrin, after the Sanhedrin in Agadol, was in Galut, leaving Yerushalayim. So they made a takana there, and the takana was that an Isha Shemochra B'nichse Melug B'chayi Ba'ala, where she had karka that was never shum in her ketubah. So it was never estimated for its actual value. It's hers completely. And the only thing is that the husband has a right to utilize it, and as long as he's alive. And the din over there is that she goes ahead now and she sells that nechse malug. And obviously she doesn't have a right to sell the use of the husband because it's not hers. He has a right to continue eating. But what she does do is she sells the actual karka itself, that they should be considered to be the owners. And therefore, if she dies, and she does die, so the din over there is that the Baal is motzi miyad alekuchot. The Baal gets a din of alokeach, and he's not considered to be a yoresh. In other words, what they did is they made the shibud that he has, the lien that he has, tougher than it otherwise would have been. Because if he knows that she sold it out from under him, so that if she dies, he doesn't inherit her, and it's going to go to the buyers, it's not going to be very healthy for their relationship. So they made this takana, and that means that the Baal can now, taina, no, I'm not a yoresh, and therefore I don't have any right, obviously, to taina that this is my yerusha, because you bought it before my wife, who was going to be yoresh, me died. But we give him a stronger din. We give a din of a lokeach, which means that he was in the original lokeach from the time of the marriage, and therefore he was the one that had actually bought it, and the buyers should have been in a state of buyers beware. Even though it uses the word motzi, obviously it doesn't mean literally motzi, because the lokeach never had it. They never had it because the Baal was using it the whole time. But motzi means motzi the schut miyad halokuchot, because he says, I bought first. Because a Baal, by definition, was given the dinim of a koneh. How about agbe ihu bechovo? We're going back now, this din of Shuma, and we were talking about a case where Beit Din collected. How about where Beit Din didn't collect? He didn't go to court over it, and what happened is the borrower said, look, I can't pay you back. Here's a field that's worth $100,000 that the loan was worth. Take the field. So he took it in his chov. Now the guy wants to buy it back. Pligi baravach ravina. Chad omer chodra, v'chad omer lo chodra. What's this for? Mandi omer lo chodra, sovar haizvinim ha'ayi. Domidayte denav she'agbe. The dinim that have to do with v'asita ha'yashar v'atov is because of the horrific, I mean, we all are completely sympathetic to the situation. Guy loses his family field, or loses his home of 50 years because he can't pay back business debt and so on. It's a terrible situation. So, v'asita yashar v'atov. Okay, I understand where court collected it. So then, the guy was being dragged through the mud. Let him buy it back. But when he offers it, it's like a sale. He's saying, look, instead of the money, take the house. So why is there l'asita yashar v'atov in that case? Therefore, it should be lo hadra, just because he gets money together. So now he decides. Every sale is like that. I mean, you may not want to sell very much what you're selling, but it doesn't mean you come back and buy it, because now you have the money. Masha Enke, the man di Omar who says hadra, he says this is not really a sale. For all intents and purposes, this is the collection of a court. In a way, it's even worse, because the guy was too embarrassed to even go to court. In other words, maybe he even took a chance at paying more than he should pay. Maybe the court would have estimated it less. He didn't want to go to court, because he was too embarrassed. He wanted to make it seem like everything, okay, have this, you take this, and that's it. And then the whole thing doesn't get out. So, lo'ati ladina machmat kisufa hudagbe. It's only because he was embarrassed. And therefore, there's no reason for us not to apply our din of, same din we applied of Shuma in a court, as v'asita yashar v'atov, we should apply here as well. Now, me'imatai achal perot, in a case where Beit Din does give you a Shuma, at what point is the property yours to be able to sue for the perot that it was producing? Let's say the shuma was on a parking lot. You want the proceeds of that lot from the time that you had the legal rights to the lot. What is that time? So here we have a machloket. Rav Amar Mechimatya Adrachta Liyadei. Rav says it's from the moment you have a seizure document drawn up by the court. And that is after you have the 90 days in which you have an opportunity now for a guy to pay up and to find things and so on. We give him an adrachta. So once he gets that adrachta, it's his. Now, the truth is there were two adrachta. There's the initial right of seizure where he finds property. There's a 90-day waiting period for publicizing the auction, because it has to be sold at public auction. So then you can offer the same price that the best buyer would have given and accept that directly and take the field. And then you're given, if Lemaisa, the guy doesn't want to give you the field, then you're given an adrachta for the actual collection. It's a machloket here, which adrachta we're talking about. But so Rashi learns it means over here the adrachta that is after Tishim Yom from the Psak Din. That there, if he finds anything, he's able to take it. But only when it comes into his hands. Abaye Omar, we saw Abaye Shita earlier, is that when a shtar is written up, Edim provide you rights at the moment of signature, not when the shtar gets into your hand. So even though you haven't picked up the shtar, or you weren't in town, or the Beis Din hasn't handed it over to you, the moment that the Edim sign, that is Zechia for you. And therefore, at that point, you would be Zoha. Rava Omar, Michi Shalimu Yemeach Razata. It's even though the Adrakta was Bali Yado, so Rashi was learning that this is the first Adrakta, and then we need the public auction, which takes place 90 days later, which is not the 90 days for Psikas Adin, but 90 days from Adrakta. The Rashba argues and says, what would be the point of talking about the seizure document for potential properties when they don't exist? In other words, as far as, what do you mean, when you're Zarecha? When you get a seizure document on a property you don't know about, that has been identified, that's the time that you're Zarecha in the Paris? I mean, how would that be? What was it? Wasn't Chal on anything. It's only later that you discovered the property. Okay, but in any event, those are two approaches. So according to Rava, as soon as we finish the entire process, and now the price is set and the property is meant for you, you just haven't actualized the seizure, you already have rights to any of the income from the property. Go. Hasocher para michaveiro v'yishila la'acher. It's a curious case. A socher is patur if the animal dies, right? Because a socher either has the din of a shomer chinam or of a shomer soch. And the animal dies, except that in this case, the socher had lent it to someone. And the din is that someone who borrows an animal is chayev, even if the animal dies, by accident. So here, the socher vis-a-vis the owner is patur, but the Shoel vis-a-vis the Socher is Chayav. Curious case. Yishava ha-Socher shemeta kidarka. The Socher remains bound to the Baalim only as a standard Shomer Sochar, or whatever the halacha is, but is still a Baal, is still a Socher, and he gives the normal Shvua, and the Shoel pays the Socher. Omer Rabbi Yossi, Ketzad hala oses schora b'poratur shel chaveiro. I don't understand. It's not his. How does the second guy, the Shoel, pay someone who's not the owner? And of course, you see how this follows the immediate Mishnah prior, where we were talking about Kefel, Tashlumi Dalet Vehei, going to the Shomer when he paid. Okay, that's when he paid. But Lamaisa, in this case, the Socher doesn't pay. The Socher doesn't have to pay. He gives a shvua, and the shvua indeed patters him. So the time is Rabbi Yossi, what's happening over here is that the socher is really making money off of somebody else's para. Ela takzor para lebaalim. Just give the para back to the owner. I don't get this. What's the logic in this? What gives the socher rights to this para? The shvua that he took, which is what the owner has to accept in lieu of payment. Well, why doesn't the owner say to the socher, namely maskila socher, excuse me, get out of the way, goodbye. No, I want to take a shvua. No, not interested in dealing with you. You go away, your shvua go away, just go away, let me handle this. I'll take the shoel to court, he's got my para, and it's like he borrowed it from me. Who are you? But I'm a chuyiv to take the shvua from you. I don't want the shvua from you. So you get out of the way, dalant, excuse me, subtract you, v'dal shvuatcha, let's subtract your shvua, v'ana mishtena dinam adi shoel, I'm going to go talk to the shoel directly. Amalei, you have a very fundamental misunderstanding of what's happening over here. Misavarta socher b'shvua al deko kanila. The socher isn't kone the pora because he gave a shvua. What did you think it was like, the case of the shomer who paid and the bialim was makna to him, the rights to the kefel? That's not what we're talking about over here. The socher basically is kone the moment that the animal dies because he doesn't have to return it. So it's mishat mita with the kadi, okay? The only reason the Torah is b'chayim ha-meshvua in a case of death is because kidei lafis da torsho ba'alabayit. The Balabayit's upset, the Balabayit's angry, and, you know, I give you something, I get back nothing. And he wants an absolute guarantee. There was no hanky-panky, you weren't shaleich b'yad. Okay, fine. So the Torah gives that to him. It's his right to want an accounting. But it certainly is not the mechanism of the Zechiah. So you can't tell him, forget about you, excuse me? Forget about me means you don't need my shvua? Fine. I won't make the shvua. Now, what's your problem? You have nothing to do with the shoel. The shoel borrowed from me. It borrowed from you. So, memela, that is the logic of his being able to get the payment off of the shoel. Omer Rebbe Zeira. This is a remarkable, remarkable Gemara, which is one of the most classic examples of the power of pure abstraction. I mean, it's absolutely stunning. Because the Gemara says, look, and this can even be true, but you should know, Rabbi Zeira, that applying this logic, and take the pure logic, or sometimes a formula, an algorithm, leads you to the most astonishing results just by following the algorithm. Follow the algorithm, okay? And you know what you find? That sometimes an owner is going to have to pay multiple animals to the renter. Because, does it matter to us whether the borrower was the same person who was the lender? No. In other words, let's say, you'll like it. Try it. No, really, you're going to like this. Okay. Now what happens is, my launching pad.
I'm all on the safe.
It's tissues.
Hey, you don't know what's inside. All right, so now, let us substitute for the Shoel the original Maskir. We have to use the Hebrew, otherwise we'll get confused with the English terms that are not as accurate. Okay, so we have a Maskir. You said in the Mishnah that if a Maskir gives it to a Socher, the Socher gives it to a Shoel, the Shoel pays the Socher, and the Socher does not pay the Maskir. Now, there's absolutely no reason why the Maskir, the Shoel, can't be the same person. I rent something from you for the next 100 days. You suddenly need it. You come back to me and you say, could I borrow that from you for the next 90 days? And I say, sure, you can borrow it from me. Now it dies while it's in your rishus. You borrowed my para, so you have to pay me my para. But you're screaming, but that's my para. No, 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 no. Your para was rented to me. Okay, so pay me for the para, because we're not talking about an actual para, we're talking about value. Pay me the value of the animal that I lent you. It's irrelevant whose para it is, because what we're defining now is the interaction of Maskir, Socher, and Shoel. Mm-hmm. Pay me up. You pay me up, and I say, of course I put on my other hat. So now I put on my Socher hat, and I say, hey, Mr. Maskir, I paid you for 100 days of use of a para which dropped dead, and I need to work with the para, so please provide me with a para. So now he's also going to have to not only pay for the para to you, he's still going to have to pay you for a para for the number of days that was still remaining in the agreement. Now, suppose this is done multiple times. You now are a maskir. I'm paying you $1 a day for the next 100 days for a para. Fine. You come to me and you say, could I borrow that for the next 90 days? And I say, sure. You borrow it for the next 90 days. Then I discover that I need it. I know you're not a very good, kind-hearted person, so I come back to it. I say, could I rent that para from you for the next 80 days? And you say, sure. So now you've got a secondary rental on the same para. The guy comes back the next day and says, it turns out I need it. Could I borrow it from you for the next 70 days? So now you take it, you give it to him for the next 70 days. The para dies. However, this para is actually an abstraction. It represents value that has been transferred between A to B to C, who is really A, but that's irrelevant. Okay, back now to B, to D, who is really A, but that's irrelevant. Back now to B. So now the din is that, of course, the din is that the first guy that borrows, who happens to be A, but is really C, and D, the second guy, both of them, they all happen to be the same person, but that's irrelevant. They owe, for this transaction, the value of one para to B, who was the original Socher. And not only that, but A owes B for the missing time that he was supposed to provide him for the extra 100 days. So now he's going to have to give him a para to cover that time. Of course, that will get given back to him at the end of the time. But the value of the other two parot that he's paid me, I get to keep. So let's just see that inside. So there's times that the owner ends up paying numerous parot to the socher. Agrimenei, what would be a case? Let's say that he originally rents it from the owner for 100 days. Now the owner comes and borrows the parot from the socher for tishim yomi. For the next 90 days, I have to give it back to him at the end of 90 days, so there'll still be 10 days left. Comes along now the socher, hadar v'agrimenei l'tmanin yomi. So he goes back now, and he re-rents it for the next 80 days, because he needs now to utilize this part, and he knows the guy's not going to give it back to him. Again, the practicalities as to why this happened are irrelevant, because we're just trying to indicate the principle that's involved. Now the owner goes and borrows it for the 70 days out of the 80. We now owes him the remaining 10 days of the 80. And now the borrower gets up and dies. Umeta betoch shivim she'elata. It dies within the last 70 days of the borrowing. So now the din is, of course, that the Baalim would have to pay numerous parot to the socher. Yakol she'ela v'she'ela. Mechayev chada para. Each time, for each act of she'ela, he's chayev one para. And this is besides, of course, the parot that he has to give him for the remaining days that he has to make up for what he owed him for the rental, which he's responsible for.
Why would he pay rent?
Oh, come on. This is delicious.
It is.
It's delicious. I can't believe you're not smiling.
Why would he pay rent? And then
this makes Bernie Madoff look like an amateur. Because the aliens were after him, obviously. If you had aliens chasing you, you'd also lend.
I'd make him pay the rent back. Why should I pay him rent?
You would, but he didn't.
I don't know.
Abba, you've been learning so long, and you ask what is known as classically in Yiddish, Akasha Famaisa. Who cares why? I could think of all kinds of situations other than aliens chasing him, which would be a reason for him to feel that he needs to be nice about it. Believe me, there are plenty such situations where a person feels very indebted, beholden, you want to borrow it, sure, and then you don't have the guts to ask for it back.
Take the pen.
So let me rent it from you. Fine. I see you travel in different circles. but anyway, that's not called specious. Specious is when an argument is specious, not when a case is the case that it is. It's irrelevant why it happened. The idea over here is to illustrate an abstraction, not to tell you that it's a good business scheme. so... I could see those gears whirling.
It's based on the idea that somebody's going to give back
it's not based on any idea. It's a lab experiment.
I understand.
Okay. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to illustrate a principle of the potential of abstraction. Forget about it. See, an unsophisticated person says, what do you mean? But it's the same guy. And it's the same para. But halakhically, that's irrelevant. That's the beauty of this. It takes an immensely sophisticated level of abstraction to recognize that the identity of the person and the identity of the pora is totally irrelevant. Because what we've done here is we've abstracted transactions and values. Right? Now, this is done all the time in the stock market, basically. Mm-hmm. This is what most transactions consist of in the stock market. All right. So now, this struck Rav Achim Dipti as what? Isn't it the same party? I don't get it. You're moving the same cow back and forth. I don't understand. How does this work?
When do we die?
Oh, my Lord, Rav Achim, he did for a minute. Michte, chona porai, aile, avka, avka mischirot, aile, le she'ela, avka mischela, aile, le schirot. I mean, why exactly would the abstract difference in the transaction affect a real-world para? I mean, it's a Schrodinger's para over here. I mean, the thing is either alive or it's not alive. I mean, you're wrong. The para is gone, okay? This para is dead. That's the point. Since the para is dead, we are not referring to an entity. We're now referring to its value. If you're arguing about the value, then let's abstract this into the value and not into the para. So, mi ita la para be'ena ne'eme le'haki? Do you see the para anywhere? That we should say, but this is a real-world para. It's not a real-world para anymore. Mar Baravashi says, Ein lo aleim ala shtei parot. Choda de she'ela v'choda de schirut. I disagree about something. What I disagree about is the taking the same transaction, which is done numerous times, and giving it a separate abstract identity. Because the point of schirut, or the point of she'ela, always takes into consideration the nature of the ba'alut of the individuals between whom it's operative. So you can't say this is a different act of She'ela. The bottom line is, what defines the interaction between man A and man B? There's a state of Sechirut that defines an interaction, and a state of She'ela that defines their interaction. I don't care how many times in cute little ways you want to redo that, but there's only one underlying relationship. There's one relationship of Sechirut and one relationship of She'ela. You can't build... It's like Ein Issa Chalal Issa. You can't build multiple states when the state's already been defined. And therefore, Shum She'ela Achat, that name, that quality, that state of She'ela, is one, no matter how many times you do it. And the Shum of Sechirut is one. And therefore, that's all we need to look at. So, if that's the case, all you have over here are really two parot. That I agree, that the Shum She'ela is one para, and the Shum Sechirut, indeed, is one para. Shum Sechirut Achati. The din is that the She'ela para is Kani Lagamri. The Sechirut para, obviously he's going to have to give him to make up the missing number of days that he promised him. So there, Avad B'Yamei Sechirutei, he's going to have to keep it as long as he promised it to him and that he paid for. And at that point, it's Mahadar Leilem Ora. It goes back to the owner, and that keeps everything nice and simple. But what's interesting is that the truth, indeed, would be that this type of relationship, surprisingly, could be constructed in ways that even Rav Yossi would have to be made of. Because depending on what the Tam of Rav Yossi is, and that's not clear, some learn the Tam of Rav Yossi is that we view the She'ela that is done by the Socher as being an act in that is acting out for the owner. So it's really a She'ela to the owner. So in any case, where he gives him the rights to go ahead and be She'ela on his own, which L'chora, by definition, he's done here because he's ready to borrow it from him. So then he's obviously saying, I'm giving you the right to borrow it, to lend it. So if that's the case, then even Rav Yossi would be Moda. So what began as a comment that seemed, it's not fair that somebody should be making money off of somebody else's para, ends up ironically making money off of somebody else's para? He's making money off of the guy who was the one who rented him the para. Astonishingly. Okay, so again, it's extremely important for us to define the logic and not our feelings about these issues. Because sometimes what appears to, this is true in nature all the time, what appears to not make sense is what is. Once you want to understand it, you try to find out why in the world you're having such illogical behavior of particles that are getting heavier as they're running around in your cyclotron. It seems very irrational. Okay, so go figure out why it's happening. But that's the fact. And okay, this is it. It's not just an argument from the heart that Rav Yossi is making. Doesn't seem fair. That's not the point. Excellent, gentlemen. But we will...
Right, the value of the animal is due at...
Abaya Omer, Gezer Hashem Yiton V'Omar Lo Acher Shvua Mitzatia. Rav Ashi Omer Zenishba V'Zenishba. V'Zenishba She'ina B'Reshuto V'Zenishba Kama Yashave. V'Ogi Koma, Minishba Techila. Mal V'Nishba Techila Shem Yishava Zev Yotzi Alat HaPikadon. Ravuna Batachlif V'Shvei D'Rava Omer. You know what? The ratio of the safe is the of the Ravuda. Listen, look at that again. Now, according to Ravuna, then he should also be the the case could be, but Mami no. So then Mami love the Malvin Ami Baha Kama. No, that he feels is lo kimle begaven. So v'nehem ne mavel alove de kimle begaven. Lo mehem le at all. How do you explain that? Maisha love the mehem le mavel. Who maisha na mavel lo mehem le alove? Because love mekayim be mavel to matisharim tanchei. Mavel mekayim be alove. The cell of bogdi mishadei. Ahu gava the afkit ki begavi chavri. Amar le havli kipoi. Amar le lo yadane hechut vino. Oh, to the camera, but I want to call Loyadana, Pshiutai. Try telling that to your wife. Zil Shalim, Lo Shalim. Ozrem Nachman, I've been lapadimine. The Sophish Taka Kipi, the Yaker. Omrem Nachman, Hadri Kipi Lamarayu, the Hadra Padan Lamara. Omar Rava Havi Atimna Kamir of Nachman Upirkan Amafkid Havi. Va'amrilay Shilayim Velora Tzali Shava Veloa Hadali. And you know, he was really right. Shabra Veloa Hadali, my time, Hotam Lo Hatakana Vedina, Hotakana Vedina. Wait, but Lememra the Sovereign Nachman Shuma Hada? Maybe not. Shani Atam the Shuma Betaut Havi. Because in the end, we realized the Kavi keeping me Ikora. Amri Nardai, the truth is that Shuma is Hadar Atres Yarchishata. V'yoma amema, well, ana minardana, v'svirli shum ada li'olam. V'yogata shum ada li'olam, v'shum shenema v'asita yashar v'atov. Now, pshita shumle l'balchov, v'ozal iyu v'sham l'balchov didei, amrina le lo adif at, migavad atit mine. Zavna, or orta, or yove b'matana, then v'aday animikor adai to the aranochut, v'lav adai to the zuzinochut, and therefore we won't take it away from them. Shamula la isha, and she goes gets married. Oh, shamu minad isha, and she goes get married, and then she died. The Baal ben yechsei ishto is considered to be a lokeach. Lo mahader, v'lo mahadrin en le. The Amr b'yezbir chanina be'usha hitkinu, ha'isha shemachra ben yechsei muluk bechaye ba'ala v'meita, ha'baal motzi miyad ha'lekuchot. If agbe iu bechovo, without going to court, pligi baravaka ravina. It's just like any other business deal. It's a sale. So I just vini ma'ayehi omi daitir nafshe agbe. Wasn't a court action. Mandi omar hadra sava. No, the guy never would have given him the house. Was vini ma'ayehi. The only reason agbe mi daitir velotel dinar is because of kisufu the agbe. Me'em atocho peri rabba mebechimati adrachta biyadeh. Abai Omar Edev Bechatum of Zachinlo, Rav Omar Mechishalim Yemei Achuzata. Asocher Paramicha Verovi Shilala Acher, Umeita Kedarka, Yishava Asocher Shemeita Kedarka, Vasher Yishalim Socher. Omar Rabbi Yossi, Keitzar Hala Seschora, Beparatosha Havero, El Tazor Parale Baalim. Omele Rabbi Baravan Abai Michte, Socher Bamai Konila Haipora Bishwa, Namele Maskele Socher, get out of the way and Dalan for Dal Shwatach, Vanamishtin and Dinamari Shoel. Omele, no, Misavarta, Socher Bishwa de Konila, Bishat Mitao de Konila, the Shwa is only there Gdelaf is the Atosha Baalabai. Omele Bizera Paamim, Shabali, Mishamim Kama Porot Socher. For instance, Hechidami, Agramine Mea Yumi. Vahada shaylemei tishim yumi, and then other agrimei tmanin yumi. Vahada shaylemei shivin yumi. Umeita betok sheilata. So over there, al kol sheila v'sheila mechayev chadapora. Amale Rav Achmi diftu Ravina. It's crazy. Mechayev chadapora. I don't understand. It's ayla v'afka. It's afka mischirut v'ayla v'sheila. Afka v'sheila v'ayla v'schirut. It's the same thing. What kind of sophistry is this? Amale miita lapora be'ina the name aleyachi. Mar bar Ravashi Omar, in lo aleyem ele shtei parot. Chode de sheela, vechode de schirut. Shum sheela achati, veshum schirut achati. What do you do? The sheela he gets to keep, kan in legamri. De schirut, avad ba yemei schirutei, umahar ele lemorei.